اشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا، فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور، ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور، واقصد في مشيك واضرب من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. وبشرح صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله تعالى، in today's brief reminder, I'd like to share some thoughts with you that I hope to benefit from myself, and hope that they are of benefit to all of you as well, in regards to a very dangerous and at the same time a very natural sentiment all of us have, and that is that of anger. Anger is very natural. It's not an unnatural sentiment for a human being to get angry. There are many occasions that make you angry and make me angry. Sometimes those things are small and sometimes they're big. But this feeling is rooted in something else. It's rooted in something else. And if it's not rooted in something healthy, it can become very dangerous. It's really a symptom of a much larger disease. I chose this passage to share with you because this is a passage in which the Prophet, as many of you know, is giving advice to his son. And there are other occasions in the Quran where fathers are talking to sons, like Yaqub alayhi salam talks to his sons. You know, Ya Baniya, inna Allah astafa lakum al-deen, fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. He gives advice to his sons also. So this idea of a father giving advice to the son is not unique in the Quran, it's something Allah iterates multiple times. So it's something we should pay attention to. And when you think of this picture, this scene, an older man, a man with wisdom, Allah has given him wisdom, وَلَقَدْ أَخِيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. He's giving advice to his young, you can even call him inexperienced son. And a lot of us are in that position. A lot of you have gotten older and you try and give advice to your sons. And you'll notice something. As you get older and wisdom kicks in, if you are fortunate enough to benefit from wisdom, what that brings also is patience. And what you'll notice in your sons, in your young men that are growing up, is impatience. And they're impulsive. They get angry very easily. So one of the very important pieces of advice for a young man to get from someone who has wisdom above him, his father, is for him to calm down, to keep himself in check, to control himself. So with that in mind, you know, keeping in mind that this is a father giving advice to his son, let's see some of the things he tells him to do. Firstly, Ya Bunayya Aqimis Salat, in this part of the passage at least. My son, established Salat. And this, the word Salah, interestingly, this is, of course, pre-Islamic conversation, or pre the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Salah is not just used in the official sense of the five daily prayers that was revealed to our Messenger, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Messenger was given their own form of Salah, and finally the perfection of it is in our Messenger's Sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just in the original sense, what the word Salah comes from is Sunnah, which means connection. Maintain a connection with Allah. You know, practically, this discussion from a father to the son, this counsel began with that, shirk billah. Don't do shirk with Allah. Don't associate partners with Allah. Don't do the ultimate crime of distancing yourself from Allah by putting someone else in between yourself and Allah. That's shirk. And practically, to not do shirk, practically, not just theoretically, philosophically, ideologically, practically to not do shirk, one has to be connected to Allah, not connected to anything else. And the device, the mechanism by which a believer gets connected to Allah is Salat itself. It literally protects our tawheed, this Salat, this connection with Allah. It doesn't let anybody else come in between. When you and I are making Salat, it's just us in conversation with Allah Azza wa Jalla directly. Allah Azza wa Jalla responding to every part of the Fatiha that we recite. It's a direct connection. Aqim as-Salat. This creates a transformation inside somebody's character. It's like a revolution happening inside yourself. But this change that happens inside yourself cannot remain inside yourself. You know when something gets hot, the heat spreads. When a candle is lit, it doesn't just light itself, the light spreads. When a person gets lit, when Salah lights you up, then it will have an impact on your surroundings. So the natural result of real connection to Allah, through Salah, a natural result of that is what the father, this father full of wisdom, tells his son next. He says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Command, enjoin, advise people to do good, advise goodness. Command goodness, suggest goodness. Amr is a beautiful word in the Arabic language because it doesn't just mean command. It can actually also mean to advise or to suggest. And in different situations, you need different things. Every time, if you try to command someone every time, it will backfire. Sometimes all they need is a suggestion. Sometimes all they need is advice. Sometimes you're in a position to command and you should command. But every situation calls for its own thing. Like, you know, for instance, you have Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam and his sons. Obviously he's their father, he's in a position to command them. So when they come back with a dirty shirt full of blood, false blood, he is in fact in a position to command them because he's their father. But does he command them? No. Because he's far more intelligent than that. He has wisdom. He knows commanding them right now will not do any good. The only thing I can have right now is sabr. The only thing I can have right now is sabr. So he refrains from commanding because he knows it's not the right time. That takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to have authority and still not use it. You know, this is something we learn in Quran. So Allah Azza wa Jalla first says, maintain a connection with Allah. Aqim as-Salat. Establish the Salat. That as a result, you'll truly be able to suggest, or advise, or even command to that which is decent. And then, وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And interestingly enough, the positive is mentioned before the negative. Commanding or advising people to do what is known to be decent. Not just al-khayr. Al-ma'ruf. Al-ma'ruf is a very interesting word. Usually gets translated as good, right? But the Arabic word khayr is closer to the word good. Ma'ruf is an ism, it's an objective noun, it's a passive noun. It implies that which is known. In other words, it's known to be good. You're giving someone advice and it's not news to them, they already knew this is something good. It's just a reminder. In other words, the first thing you should call people to is something they already recognize to be good and true. Honesty, patience, kindness, keeping family relations. Listen, you don't have to be an Islamic scholar to know these things. You just have to be a decent human being. Even non-Muslims know that much. It is even ma'ruf to them. It is even known to them. Start with that. And then move on. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Then forbid. Then forbid. From munkar, something unrecognized. Literally means something unrecognized. Something nobody recognizes to be good. It's the literal opposite of al-ma'ruf. From a language point of view. Someone nobody sees as good. It's alien to every society. Being mean to someone, cursing someone, right? Being rude to someone, raising your voice. These are things, it doesn't matter even if you're Muslim or not. Even the people who do it, they will know deep down inside, that's not right. That's no way to talk to someone. You know, but not Muslim. So he says, let that and then come later. Why? Because that's just the progression of how you deal with people. First, you benefit from the goodness of Salat yourself. Then you want others to benefit from goodness. So you give them something good, something they know to be good. And then eventually, when you have a relationship with them, at that point you can say, you know, you need to stop this bad thing you're doing too. You know what we do a lot of time, what we think is giving advice to somebody, we go straight after them with them, right? You know what they're doing is wrong over here. You can't do that. This over here, you can't talk like that. You can't do this, you can't do that. And the first defense mechanism that is built into the human psyche kicks in, these people say, who are you to tell me? Who do you think you are talking to me like that? You can't talk to me like that. You can't tell me what to do. Who made you? Who guided made you the authority? Right? People don't respond to that. It's natural. You and I wouldn't respond to it. If somebody just comes up to you and starts telling you about all the wrong things you're doing, like, leave me alone, man. Your old wife doesn't respond to that. You know, you could have put that better. You gotta compliment your cooking first. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Maybe small things, it could be even more amazing. You have to be a little bit more intelligent in bringing things up. When can I look up? Wasbir ala ma asabak. This is what I wanted to get to. My khutbah isn't about commanding good or committing evil, or the known or the unknown. It's about anger. What I wanted to talk to you about is anger. When someone benefits from the goodness of religion, from this deen, they get what they're supposed to get out of salah, and they want to share that goodness with others, but others have no appreciation of it. You try to give somebody good advice and they don't care about it. They spit at it. They kick it to the curb. And you say to yourself, man, I'm giving you some really good advice. I went out of my way to try to help you, and this is what you do in return, naturally you would get angry. This is one of the manifestations of anger. You try to give somebody advice, you try to tell someone to do something good, and they don't appreciate it at all, they kick it to the curb. This is an occasion of someone getting angry. I want you to think about this. What are some other occasions where you and I get angry? When you and I have expectations. I have an expectation from my son, from my daughter, from my wife, from my husband. I have an expectation. That expectation is not met, I'm going to get angry. There's an expectation I have for my employee, better show up on time. He shows up 40 minutes late, guess what? I'm going to get angry. It's natural. Whenever we have expectations and they are not met, get upset. Whenever we have rights, I have a right to be respected, I have a right to be listened to, I have a right to whatever. I have a right. As a teacher, if I'm teaching in a class, I have certain rights. If I'm a parent, I have certain rights over my kids. If I'm a husband or a wife, I have certain rights over my wife or my husband. Either way. There are rights. And when rights are violated, when your rights are not given to you, when a wife speaks to a husband in an inappropriate way, the husband says, you can't talk to me like that. He gets upset. Because his rights are violated. Expectations, when expectations aren't met, when rights are violated, when injustice is done, it's not fair. You can't do that. When your boss doesn't give you your paycheck, he gives you half the paycheck. You know? He says, I need you the other half because I'm going on vacation. Can't do that, boss. You don't have the right. When justice is not served, naturally people get angry. Look at all those Occupy Wall Streets, Occupy Dallas, Occupy Sacramento. What's that about? People getting angry. Because they feel like justice is not being served. The lack of justice will make someone get angry. All of these are legitimate kinds of anger. And sometimes, by the way, in the religious context, there are people who get angry when something is said against the religion. Yes? Something inappropriate is said about Islam, we get angry. People bark about the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, we get angry. People say things about the Quran, we get angry. But I want to put this in perspective. You and I have a right to get angry. We do. In these cases, we have a right to get angry. But what that anger should turn into, according to our deen, is sabr. It's a feeling inside you, and it goes through our heart, and our heart should convert that anger into sabr. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, when our heart is not connected to Allah, then sabr is happening. Then that anger comes out of you. And I want to tell you a couple of examples. One of my favorite examples. You know, by the way, you and I get angry, but that's nothing compared to what Allah gets angry at. Nothing compared to that. There are a group of people in this world who claim that Allah Azza wa Jalla has a son. This statement makes not just believers, it makes Allah angry. It makes him so angry that he says, تَكَادُ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ. Perhaps the skies and the earth are about to tear open every time they say Allah has ascended. Every time they say Allah has ascended, Allah is so angry, he says, he's about to destroy the entire universe out of rage. That's how offensive that statement is to Allah. I want you to remember that. How angry Allah gets when something inappropriate is said about this. There's multiple reasons he has a right to be angry with. One, something inappropriate has been said about Allah. Two, something inappropriate has been said about one of his beloved messengers. It's a lie against his messenger also. And three, it's a lie against his teaching. He dedicates his life teaching Tawheed, and now his life is attributed to shirk. This is an offense on multiple accounts. He has an extreme right to be upset. Now I want you to keep that in mind as we go forward. A group of Christians, they used to live in this area called Najran, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They heard that this man in Medina is claiming to be a messenger. We should go check it out. We should go talk to him. So they came to visit the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Back in the day, they did not have the Holiday Inn or the Clarion or the Marriott or the hotel systems. So where did these Christians stay? For these few days, they stay in Masjid al-Nabawi. They stay in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same people who believe the most offensive thing to Allah are honored guests, in the house of Allah. And every Muslim speaks to them with respect. And they have a healthy conversation back and forth, defending their faith. Defending what? That Allah has a son. That's what they're defending. Who are they defending that with? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're talking to the Messenger about justifying shirk for days on end, inside the house of Allah. Inside the house of Allah. There's not a frown on the Messenger's face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone has a right to get angry for the sake of Islam, if any of you has a right to get angry for the sake of Islam, it's Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there's something to be offended about, is the statement that Allah has a son. And if there's one group you should be really angry with, it's the group that doesn't just believe it, they're the ones that preach it. These were preachers from Najran. These were priests. These were the knowledgeable of them. Allah doesn't just call them Nasraniyun. He calls them Ahlul Kitab, which also implies there were people that were in contact with the books. They had access to the text. They were literate people. They knew what they were talking about, and they were still coming up with the wrong conclusion. So you have a right to get angry with them. Because the people who don't know anything, and they still make a mistake, at least they can say, I didn't know. It's not my fault, I didn't know. These guys knew. And they still did. And yet the attitude of my messenger towards them, I didn't stop this enough. Until Allah Himself sent a verdict. فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ. Interestingly enough, he didn't even say جَعَلَ. He said, حَاجَكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَجَاكَ مِنْ الْعِلْمِ. Whoever tries to debate with you, trying to stump you in argument, hujja in Arabic, is when you try to, you're disagreeing with somebody, you're going back and forth, and you come up with something trying to stump your opponent. You're trying to come up with something to silence your opponent. By using the word حَاجَكَ in the ayah, Allah is saying these people are trying to one-up you in conversation. They're trying to outdo the Messenger of Allah in conversation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just think about that. In addition to the fact that they've done shirk, in addition to the fact that they know what they're doing, in addition to all of that, they are trying to be offensive in their discourse with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same man that if Muslims, call him by the name, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj alayhi, they just call him by his name. Some Bedouins came to the Messenger's apartment, they called him by his name. They didn't insult him. The Messenger's name itself, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a beautiful name. But they didn't say Ya Rasulullah. They said Ya Muhammad. Just that. Allah is so angry at that insult that He says, Don't call him like you call each other. Don't you do that. All of your good deeds will be taken away, you won't even know. Just because you called him by his name. Just because of that. Because you were too casual in your lack of respect or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these guys are doing muhajaza with him, they're debating with him, trying to outdo him in argument, how much more offended is Allah? First, because he's a kind of a different shit. Second, they're trying to debate in an offensive way with the Messenger of Allah. And at the end of all of that, Allah says, fine, call them with their kids and you will come with our kids. And they didn't show up as we know. But the Messenger himself didn't pass that verdict. Allah revealed that verdict. Allah revealed that verdict. He himself dealt with them with full patience. Complete patience. This is teaching us something. We need to learn how to be patient. We need to learn to take that anger and transform it into patient intelligence. To respond to ignorance with intelligence. We cannot be impulsive people. We cannot let our anger get the best of us. Interestingly enough, I told you, anger can be rooted in good things. We love our deen, and when it's offended, it makes us angry. I have rights as a husband. I'm not being given my rights, I have a right to be upset. Come on, it's not right. I shouldn't be treated this way, I shouldn't be talked to this way. I have a right to be treated fairly at work. If my boss is not treating me fairly, I have a right to get upset. I'm not saying you don't have that right. I'm saying you do. But if those feelings are stemming from something far worse than anger. You know what that is? It's arrogance. Pride. Your pride is hurt. If that's the case, then you've got way bigger problems than anger management. That's not your real problem at that point. When people command to the good and forbid evil, coming back to the ayah, because my time's pretty much up. Originally, somebody commands to the good, because they felt the good themselves when they got connected to Allah, they want other people to taste the good. But as you get used to commanding people the good, you start forgetting about yourself. It's just about you having the authority to tell others what to do. That'll happen to a person. You tell people to do good, you forget about yourself. And now with just this authority you have over people, you get to tell them what to do. And when they don't, you lose your patience. So he says, don't swell your cheeks at people, which is an expression in Arabic for what? Don't get like all high and holy against them. These people, they do this. Those guys are so lost. These people don't even listen. They're so ignorant. They're so this, they're so that. Don't be condescending to people. Don't be judgmental of people. His father is telling him, your anger, if you don't have sabr, you'll become judgmental of people. But I don't think of the Maraqa. Don't walk around on the earth with pride. Where did pride come from in this conversation? That same sentiment of someone, if it's not there, it can go haywire. He said, what said to my sheikh? What will be insulted? Incredible. Have you seen someone who gets really angry? They start walking around fast, start pacing. They're sitting and talking to you, they get so angry, they storm out of the room. Just get up there, I can't take this anymore. They slam the pole on the floor. Flip out, we'll call it flipping out, right? Walk since the Masjid, keep your walk balanced. Incredible that it's placed there. It's incredible that the ayah is placed there. Keep yourself in check, buddy. Know where you are. Know your role, know your place. Walk since the Masjid. And what happens when a person gets angry? They raise their voice. That's what they do. He says, walk with me insulting. Keep your voice low. He's telling his son, look, the only times you're getting angry, you need to calm down. You need to keep your voice low. You need to check yourself. And then he tells him, if you do want to raise your voice, the worst kind of sound made, or the most alien sound, of sound, is the sound made by the donkey. He compares the angry guy raising his voice to a donkey. And this is what I want to end with. Why a donkey? First of all, its brain is very ugly. That's one. I don't want to pretend to do it, you guys can imagine it yourselves. But there's another reason. A donkey was used classically in old societies to load stuff onto. You know, like Quran describes even yakmilu asfalan, right? It's loading books onto. You got burdens and burdens of stuff piled onto a donkey. Until you put so much on it, it can't take it anymore, and it starts making a nasty sound. It starts making a nasty sound. But you keep piling it on. In other words, if we put it to you in human terms, you've tested my patience, until I have to go crazy. Allah says, don't be a donkey. An animal, when it reaches its limit, then it can make wild noises. Human beings are not like animals. When you reach your limit, you need to learn. That is the time you turn to Allah. That's the time you connect back to Allah. You'll find strength there. You won't find any relief in releasing your anger. That's not to help you. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us a people that can control that anger. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us a people that can be patient with each other. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from that evil deed of arrogance. Inna Allah la yuhibbu mukhtalin fakhur. Allah does not love anyone who is full of this imaginary word of themselves. Who's full of pride, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from pride. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bi ayatihi wa hikmatihi. Alhamdulillah wa kafa, salatu wa salam ala ibadihi wa mustafa. خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن يقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المسلمين كتابا مقرونا.